And we all have it. Those of you who have it by internet, just make sure we follow, because we're gonna go through these scriptures. We're gonna survive these judgments. You want to make sure that you understand what you're reading and what is God saying to you in this hour and what is God saying to you in this season. Versus me telling it to you, I want you to see. All right, let's turn to verse 10. Luke chapter 13. If you have your Bible, let's stand to our feet. This is just it's a way of honoring the Lord. Most likely we're going to read verse 12 together, but let's start with verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, let us read the last verse together. Woman, you are loose from your infirmity. That is our title today. You can take your seat. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Now, I do want to bring your attention, because oftentimes when we see a gender, we specifically highlight them only, but it's not so much of the woman's verse. It's a unified verse. Because some reason and some importance, we need to understand that we all are trapped in some form or fashion. We are trapped in some sort of way where we are not feeling like we are free totally. There's some parts of us that's free, but there's some parts that we're not where we should be. Now, let's look at this text. I said, I want to go in here. I don't want to preach. I want to really teach in here. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. In other words, what he was saying was, Sabbath is the Sabbath day. It's the same Sabbath that God says, that's the day for rest. He set aside a part for a day of rest. Remember, he created the heavens and the earth, and what he did, he rested on the sixth day. When you hear the word sixth day, he means Sabbath, a day of set apart. Now, this woman is, let's highlight this for a second now. This woman, she came into a place of worship on a Sabbath, which was the day of worship. But it was also a day of rest. How can you rest and worship at the same time? Because if I'm coming to worship and you're telling me I want to rest, how can I rest if my back is out of shape? The Bible describes her as a woman that was bent over, which means she prostrated herself like the letter U rather than the letter I. I don't know if you got that. Well, let me say this again. She prostrated herself like the letter U. I like to visualize this. So people can get an ID. Rather than a letter I, which means she could not stand up on her own two feet. She could not be able to walk on her own without some form of assistance. Now, the Bible does give us some form of years on how long she was dealing with this. The Bible says it was 18 years. It's a decade plus eight. 18 years. Now, for 18 years, you dealing with this man, I think she got to a place where she felt like it's supposed to be this way. In other words, it became normal to her. And when things become normal to you, usually you are numb to the pain, even though you know it hurts. And you become more tolerable than other people, because if I'm not used to pain, then certainly it will keep me away from church. Let me get it this way. How is it that this woman was so uncomfortable, but she made her way to a place of worship? Here we are, we're comfortable, but we can't find ourselves in worship. I think she just exposed some of us who finds excuses while we're in pain and while we can't find ourselves in God. I have a headache, so I can't go to worship. This lady could not even get to a place where she could stand up for herself. No Tylenol, no ibuprofen, no Advil could have helped this woman, because Jesus told us it was a spirit of infirmity, which means, in other words, it was fragile. She was weak. She had no strength. But look what it said. She went to one of the synagogues. So that means there were so many churches, but there was only one place, rather one person who was in the church who can encounter that situation. How we have all of these churches, but no one got the power to meet the need. How many synagogues was it? The Bible never really gave us a specific on how many, but she found the one she needed to find that day. So it also tells me she's been going to the synagogue 18 years, every Sabbath, every week, but not here. Look at verse 10. Now he was teaching. This is referring to Yeshua, Jesus, teaching and what? It says was, and one of the synagogues. One of them, meaning it was plural on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. It wasn't like she was lifting rocks. There was a spirit that caused this woman to be bent over for the amount of time she was bent over. It says here, 18 years, and she could no way raise herself up. Obviously, there's another thing that we need to look at here. If she couldn't do it herself, that means her financial resources had depleted. If that was the case, then where was her husband if she was mad? But let's assume to say she was single. So if she was single, that tells me a lot about her financial resources. Because usually, if you tell a person that they've been spending all they want, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she spent all her life savings for 12 years. She saw every physician. Now, it's ironic that it's this particular book that pointed out her situation. Because Matthew, usually Mark, are always pointing out the synoptic gospels usually highlight either some sort of translation or give you another way of looking at things. But it was only Luke that pointed out this situation, which I don't know is Luke is a doctor by occupation. God, I don't mind. I'm giving you some history there. Luke was pointed out by his physician that this wasn't a health crisis. This was a spiritual crisis. I want you to also keep in mind that Luke was not one of the 12 disciples. So he had to get this story from one of the others. I'm teaching. Look at this here. Let's read it. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, which is what? Saturday. Say that with me. On a Saturday. Okay, we got that straight. And behold, there was a woman. Now they didn't give her a name, but they identify her as what? Having a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. And was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, typically, this is another thing that I want to look at this now. Usually when a person has a need, they're going to look for some sort of solution. That also tells me she was not looking. She had no expectation. Not that day. Because she got used to the pain. How we get used to something and we put up with the pain. To the point that it becomes normal. That we put up with the aggravation. So because it became norm. And so we had already manipulated our mind that this thing gonna change. So let me just keep putting up what I'm putting up with. But her day was coming. She decided that she was gonna sit. Imagine, just imagine that was the particular day that she was gonna decide to sit out of love. Can you imagine? You've been laboring for all these years. You've been believing God for all these years. And it became so normal that you stopped praying about it. You just decided that there's no resources for me. Well, can you imagine the very hour that she was getting ready to get her breakthrough, she decided that she was going to sit out of church. You and I could be at the very last. You notice when you run in a race, right before you come to the finish line, you're all out of breath because you've exhausted all of your energy. It takes so much to even get over the threshold, over that line. It takes a lot. You got to understand, if you're running, depending on the type of dash or the type of race you're running, it's going to take all of your effort to get over the finish line. But it wasn't like she was racing against other people. She was racing against herself. Look at this here. Let me get in here. But when Jesus saw her, it wasn't like she was looking for him. He saw her. In other words, she wasn't coming for a church for a handout. In other words, she told herself, I can do this all by myself. At least to a certain point. This is another thing. When it says she couldn't do it by herself, obviously there were some parts of her that she must have pulled something or something took place other than what we have come to learn about how back issues work. If you bent over, it's going to take somebody to kind of pull you up. You're going to be in a lot of excruciating pain to get to a place where you can stand up and posture yourself like a letter I. You're going to need so much of assistance. I know this to be true because I remember I had a back issue last year. Some of y'all know, and it took all three and four of you guys when we had to go and minister out in South Carolina. Y'all know how much pain I was in. But I kept pushing. I still ministered. Here we got some people where they got a little ache in their toe. They got to sit out. Is that cause enough injury for you to sit out of worship? Because your pinky toe hurt? But here this woman had a back problem. You got to understand, in the back problems, x-rays can't find where the solution is. I got a nurse here. She can testify on this. You can't find it. You have to go through so much. That's why when you go through an accident, any kind of injury, they can't determine. That's why you can kind of lie and scheme your way out of a back pain because nobody can determine how long, where's the root of the problem, so you can mask it because backs have a very distinguishing area. Oh, y'all better help me steer this. Yeah, but look what we do. Oh, I'm hurting. I'm going to sit out. I'm frustrated today, so you know what? I'm going to sit out. We find every excuses to sit out of worship. This woman really embarrassed all of us right now. Can you think about over the last 30 days, what caused you to sit out? What was it that had you sit on a sideline like your injury was like an Achilles heel? We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. And I'm going to tell you what, this is what happens when people start dodging and ducking. Because what they know when that word starts coming out, or they'll try to hide like it ain't there. No, it's you that I'm talking about. And you know what I'm saying. It's because when you are looking for God to do something for you, I can feel me getting the spirit here now. When you're looking for God to do something for you, but yet you can't do what you need for God, but you're expecting him to cause your 18 years of heartache for a one-day situation. Let me get in the spirit here for a moment. Your 18 years of pain can be resolved in 12 hours. Depending on how you're seeking them. Depending on what church you go to. Oh, God Almighty. Because she specifically says that she went to one how many synagogues. Then it tells that. But one out of the bunch. Look at this now. You can find churches on every other corner having some worship experience. But can I just find one that have the power? Hey. Because what happens is we attracted so much to the numbers, we attracted to power. We assume because numbers are going there, that's where the answer is. I bet you other synagogues had so many scribes and Sadducees and Pharisees and all these people with the collar on, so it attracted the majority. Well, I believe Jesus was in the synagogue with the minorities. Because why else need to show up with a place he knew this woman was going to get this now? Jesus already knew she was coming. The other issue was she didn't know he was going to be there. God Almighty, look at that. Look at this here now. He says, but when Jesus saw her, in other words, he highlighted her out of everyone else. With the woman with the issue of blood, do you recall that she pressed her way? But this woman didn't do anything. She just showed up. I'm going to try to tell you something. You one day could be your day that you just show up and you're not looking for nothing. You ain't looking for a handout. You ain't looking to be sick. You ain't looking for a male or female. You ain't looking for this or that, but you're looking just because you know you love the Lord. No, what I'm trying to say is that there was no motivation in her showing up that day. She just decided, I'm going to show up. You and I just don't know when our breakthrough is here. And it can be right in front of your eyes. Think about this, man. If you can just imagine what this woman, you got to think about this. You could imagine how many people looked at her. You serve a God like this, and this is the kind of position he put me in. Think about all the laugh, the mockery this woman took. You showing up, you giving, you worshiping, but you don't have no breakfast. That is open for laugh. That is open for mockery. Well, no. Let me tell you, this woman had to be stubborn all outdoors. She says, if I could take this, I could take this. In other words, this pain probably could not compare to the mockery that was coming out of her way. We don't know what kind of position this husband, if it was one, put her in. All she knew, she was bent over. Woo, God Almighty, I'm putting myself in this woman's shoes just for a moment. Because if we can't identify with it, then we think we already up here. Let me tell you something. If you think you're here, you're going to find yourself right down here. What the word says, he says, those that exalt themselves shall be abased. And those who humble themselves shall be what? Exalted. Oh, y'all know this word? That was a form of humility. She humbled herself enough to walk. There was no crutches. She could, look what it says here. Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way. In other words, there was no other alternative. Can you imagine being in a situation where there's no other alternative? No other way, no other resource. All you know is your source. But if you and I get to a place where we know who the source is, you got your resources, you just don't know when it's getting ready to manifest. She had a spirit of infirmity. In other words, a spirit of weakness. She was fragile, 18 years. No Bengay. No, I see that. This was a spirit. Not regular physical pain if we've grown accustomed to. So it tells me some things is that we pick on her. Of all people. Then we got to come to some truth here. Have you looked yourself in the mirror and says, who are you? If you concentrate on your pain, but not the purpose, you're missing. You're missing the main ingredient. That if the enemy's picking on you, that means there's something on the inside of you that he wants to sabotage to keep you from your purpose. The enemy don't pick on people who don't have purpose. He doesn't sabotage people who don't have purpose. He messes with people. If you think about this, if you have went through anything in your life, and you ask yourself, how long am I going to be dealing with this matter? What it's doing is building a character. It's building your own ministry. It's building purpose on the inside of you. We focus so much on the pain, but you don't know coming behind the pain is pleasure. I can tell I'm getting hold of some people, because you know what's happening? When I'm sitting, people are starting to think, they're going backwards. And what they're doing, they're evaluating circumstances they found themselves in. And I see, it's almost like I see a woman just looking in the mirror, and she just, her countenance is so sad, wondering, why am I going through all of this? You ain't even asking the right questions. Why are you not? Man, oh man. Because the enemy is slick, man. He's very deceiving and very deceptive. He will make think that what you're going through is just because you ain't nobody. Obviously, you must be somebody that is picking with you. Not only are you somebody, but he's tormenting you on purpose. But look at the amount of time he's tormenting this woman. Oh, can we just kind of get it there for a moment? Let me park the car for a moment on situations we find ourselves in. Press rewind just for a moment. Think back all the times you looked in the mirror and you were just, you couldn't even want to see yourself in the mirror. You didn't even want to even identify yourself with anything. In fact, I can see you right now. You wanted to stay away from the company you used to keep because you were so ashamed. You didn't want nobody to know you were going through this. So you wanted to make sure that you want to keep everything quiet, because you don't want nobody to know what you're going through privately. Most people with pain, they don't want people to know. And I, honestly, I think this woman just said, you know what? I don't have no excuse. She was not justifying her illness or her spirit of infirmity to stay away from church. No matter how she felt, she was in attendance. She didn't try to blame somebody for her issue. She didn't try to say this, or she tried to say, because I know we got so much excuses for some reason. So many we can find. You know, I can tell people are starting to dodge me right now. Because they hide. They, you know, look, let me tell you about a spirit. When you face them, they start to hide. Because they don't want you to help. You don't have to be afraid of a spirit. Look them in the eye. Watch how you, if, let me tell you something. Let me give you a little history now. Let me give you a little dose now. When you look a spirit in the eye and they can't look at you back, they're afraid of you. Let me help some of my women. You ever noticed? Let's go back in the past. I can feel it here. Let's go back in the past just for a moment, because this is what I say to him right now. You know how a man, when they cheating and they scheming and plotting, and then when you confront them about what they're doing, you notice they can't look you in the eye? You know what that means? Because they're trying to dodge the question. A spirit would never look you in the eye and tell you the truth. They're going to do everything they can to make sure they dodge what they're doing, or they're not. Think about all the men who did what they did to you. They could not face you because there was a spirit you was facing. In other words, you was telling that spirit, I'm not going to let you intimidate me. If you're doing dirty out there, you need to tell me, because I already know. I just need you to confirm it. So I know what to do, because I'm about to walk away. I mean, literally, walk away. And never told us how this woman found herself in this situation. It just tells us the surface. Well, we need to realize how she got there. It was something that took place behind the scenes. Things you and I don't really want to discuss in a place of worship. We don't want to discuss the soap opera that's going on in our personal life. I'm going to keep this quiet. I'm not going to put this on Facebook. I'm not going to put this on the gram. I'm not going to put this on TikTok. I'm only going to show you the good side of me. When the makeup is not on me. I'm going to show you that part of me. But I will not show you the pain side of me. The emotional wreck this man put me through. God, I'm not going to show you that side. I want to keep this quiet as long as possible. Because I do not want to be embarrassed. Especially when I go to a church that everybody knows who and I, who we hooked up. 18 years of sex, of brokenness, of stress, of depression, of oppression. I'm telling you, if you go through 4 years, even if you go through 2 years of this, it becomes normal to you. To the point that you see yourself not having the issue no longer until you realize you do. I could imagine, let's think about this woman for a moment. I like to walk things down. He called her to him. So what that means, it tells me, now she had to come out of Front Street, out in the open, to be exposed of her dilemma. Everyone knew it, but now everyone's watching, up and close. She became the new TV series that month. It's one thing about walking by. People will still go on with their business, but it's another thing when people are watching you at the moment because you become the habit of the hour. In a time when you're not trying to become. It's amazing, though, how we can pray about something, but when your breakthrough is coming, right, you're ready to shy away from it. No, stop. Step in that. Step right in it, right this way. Because you've been praying, and you have not seen any answers, but now is your time, and this is the time that God is allowing it right in front of people. Because if you was publicly embarrassed, then you got to be publicly rewarded. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh. Let me go ahead. Let me get here to put some things here. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman." Now, in our Western culture, we find that to be very disrespectful. But really, it was a form of respect. Pastor, what are you talking about? Let's go visit Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Glad you asked that question. Let's visit this. Let's look at it. I told you I'm going to teach you. This is the kind of ministry that I'm going to be able to stand up on my own two legs. Let's read the B clause of this verse 15. Not the end. Let's read the between. Y'all see between? Just highlight between because we're going to read this together. Between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Let me slow myself down because I think people are still trying to find Genesis. It's the first book. No, you think I'm kidding because you'd be surprised how many people don't know where Genesis is. But they know how to go to church. They just don't know how to identify where the books. When you come here, you're going to learn the word, how to categorize it, how to itemize it, and how to figure it out. No, we're going to teach you here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's look at the B clause. I don't know how your translation says, but it says between. That's the B clause for me. Let's read this together. Between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, he was saying, do you see the difference that God says, I'm putting the enmity, meaning a separation Meaning what he was saying was, I am going to bruise, since what Satan did to Eve, he says, I'm going to bruise. Your offspring is going to bruise the head of the Satan, of the snake. What did this woman have? An infirmity. A spirit. Who gives out his spirit infirmities? Satan. So Jesus is saying, woman, look, let's go back here. Look what he says. Because of 12. I'm going to just, lead up to it. But when Jesus saw her, he called her and to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. That offspring was Jesus. He was the one that was called to bruise the head of the serpent. Whenever you're going to crush something that's been messing with you, you got to go after the head, not the tail. Because if you can go for the head, you can kill the rest of the body. Let's read this here. He says, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The laying hands was to confirm or solidify what he said of her. He already told her she was loose. But maybe that wasn't enough on her, because maybe she was used to people telling her all kinds of things, but nothing to back it up. Because sometimes when we hear certain things, like when we hear somebody tell us they love us, no, baby, shut up. So he was affirming her by putting a touch on her. Wow. In other words, I think what happened was the words wasn't enough for her. He already knew. Wasn't that he didn't have the power, she just needed someone encouraging. So what he decided to do, he says, let me touch you. I'm leading to you. In other words, he was confirming her or affirming her based on what he already said. Now, y'all, listen to what I'm saying. You know what? Listen, a lot of times people need to be affirmed. Because if I say what you are and I keep saying something that you lose, you may not believe. Oh, I've got to get this one. Okay, in other words, what I'm saying, let me use a different way. I love you, baby. But if I don't show you, all you mean is the words. But if I touch you, now you can feel my love. Oh, God, listen to me. The touch we think is just a bite. No, it was a touch because love poured down through you. If I touch you, you can sense my energy that I love. In the spirit, because she had a spirit in, but his spirit had to come in contact with that spirit, because he already told in Genesis, my offspring shall bruise the head. Look, I think some of y'all still look. Let's go back to Genesis real quick. I got to take my time. I can feel some people like, Pastor, I get you, I hear you, but you're kind of losing me through translation. I'm going to slow myself down just for a moment so you can pick up the pieces. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 again. We're going to bookmark this because we're going back. What it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is God. And between your seed and her seed. You know what? I think I need to go back. Let me go back a little bit more. Maybe so you can get it this way. I hear you. Let's start off at the whole 15. Because you have done this, God has taken to the serpent. You remember what he did. He slid in his way. Y'all know the story, right? I got to go back there. He says, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle. Get this now, all cattle. And more than every beast of the field. On your belly, you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. He's talking to the serpent. We see what serpents do now, right? I will put enmity between you and the woman. In other words, a separation, right? And between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, think about this. What I said earlier, in order to attack something, you have to go after the head. In other words, if you go after the back end of things, you're not dealing with the root problem at hand. All right, let's go back to Luke. Where were we? Luke? Okay, let's go back to Luke. Let's go back to Luke chapter 13. I'll give you some time to get there. So those of you who just coming on, it's the third gospel in the New Testament. Let's pick this up here for verse 12. But when Jesus saw her, verse 12, he called her to him and said to her, who, what did he say? You what? The reason why he had the authority, because he already knew he could bruise that head. Spirit goes against spirit. The Bible depicts her problem was a spirit of what? That means Satan has some influence in that situation. So in order for him to go after it, he had to go after the head of the demise. What I'm saying to you, here's another thing what we got to realize. We go after little demons, we need to go after a person who's controlling the demons. Who's spearheading you. In other words, you don't need to keep going after the little problem. Just go after big little problem. No, let me say it this way. If you notice about a bully, if you tackle the bully, everyone else is going to flee. They only stand around to watch. They only standing around to signify. The demons is not the problem. It's the person who's influencing the demons. I'm going after the root of the problem, not the fruit. Let me hear. He says, verse 12. But when Jesus saw her, he called her. He didn't call him. And if she did, maybe this is the response. She's getting her breakthrough. Most of the time we see people coming after Jesus. I'm coming to church because I'm coming after my reward. That's okay, depending on your motivation. But this particular day, she just wanted to sit and be still. She just wanted to be a pops. I'm not going to sit home laying in this mat any longer because it reminds me of my pain. I'm not going to sit in this house because it's going to remind me of my pain. It's bringing back all the things that I've been through. And if I've been in the same space for 18 years, then my environment has changed. So let me come out of my comfort zone. Let me come out of what I'm used to being wrapped up in. And let me come to a different space so I can breathe. I just want to sit among everyone else. But when Jesus called her, I wonder who helped her get to them, or did he go to her? I wonder if he did call her on purpose, knowing her condition, so that way everybody can be reminded what she went through, so when she knows, when she get back to sit back down, she ain't going through that no more. No, what I'm saying to you is that it would be remorseful for Jesus not to call her in that condition. Why would he make her come to him? But he wanted to make sure that everybody sees her, not only see her, but be reminded what she's going through, how she's coming to that altar. Because when she comes to that altar this way, she's going back this way. What I'm saying to people is that if you're going to go to a place of worship for an extensive amount of time, you ought to see some kind of change. At some point in your life, you should not keep going to the same place and you ain't seeing no difference. I could imagine, they said she went to one of the synagogues. I wonder if she's been going to one down the street and no change took place. So maybe she decided, you know what? Let me change my environment. Maybe it was the place of worship that was on where I'm stuck. Let me get out of my normal lifestyle and let me go to another place down the street. Like DCM. I've been going to this place 18 years. Let me change my perspective. Maybe I'm not going to go where everyone else is going, where the crowd is going, but let me go where I think something is getting ready to happen for them. Because before your breakthrough takes place, you can think something about you. Something in you tells you something deep down. You don't have all the sustenance, but you know something. Something is on the inside of me. Something that I'm close. I just don't know how close I am. Something on the inside of me shows me that it's something greater. Something is about to take place in my life. Why not me? Why not bring your future to your present? And stop focusing your present back on your past. I'm on fire. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Because we're so good. We love getting into our past. We love looking in the rearview mirror on everything that took place in our yesteryears. How about look forward to the wind, that window right in front of you, the most widest part of your view. The rearview mirrors are cautionary, not for you to go to the past. But I'm going to look forward to the big old window that's in front of me, because that's the direction I'm driving towards. It is not healthy for any driver to keep looking in a rearview mirror unless you hear a sound. Oh, God, oh my, I feel it there. You see, that's the only way we should be looking in our past, but not to stay there. Because if you focus on the past so much, how in the world you and I are going to be able to go forward? I got to look in the front of the wind. This is the wide side. This is the widest part of my thought, looking forward. You got something to look forward to. You thought I was, I'm coming back to you. Because you're not going to, let me tell you something. When I sent some people, look, man, you're not going to come here and not get your breakthrough. You came here on purpose. Maybe it took you a whole lot to get here, but I tell you what, it's going to be worth your while. Look forward to your future. It's not in your past. Don't go back then. I don't care what, I don't care what's being presented to you. What? Let me say it this way. I don't care who's being presented to you. My past is my past. You know, it's a reason why they don't have tape decks anymore, because you can't press rewind on this. We in the streaming service there. We can't press rewind. The TDKs are old. I'm going forward. When Paul tells me, he says, my prize and my high calling is in Christ Jesus, not in Satan. Because Satan is all our past. Say what you want. Look, let me get back in here again, because I feel like I'm breathing. Let me get back in here again. Sometimes we need some motivation. I'm telling you, what is it going to take for me to tell you? Huh? And all your pain. I don't know how long that hour was from the entrance to the exit, or from the entrance to where the pulpit, but I do know that she had to come. Just listen. Let me give you an example of this one. You ever seen people with a little hunt over their back? You see them. I want to forget one day. No kidding. This is a very true story. I remember I was sent on a mission trip to New York City, right? In those days, I would go 5-6 days out of town. And I'm telling you what, it wasn't the best hotel. You had to go into a place where you had to eat slop, but you knew the missionary, we were there for service, right? And so I remember I was on 155th Street. Those of you who know New York City, that's where the Rutgers tournament played. That's where the best ball players go. We went out there to mission, to do our missions, and I'll never forget this. I'm up here witnessing to people, and I remember this woman, lady, hunched over, just like me. I'm not kidding. Not kidding me. She was walking like she had a sharp cotton in her hand. Tells me a lot about that situation. If she had some children, shame on it. If she had a man, shame on him. But she was out there fending for herself. And I said, woman, oh yeah, that's exactly what I said, not knowing what I really said. I said, do you believe for real? You know, I didn't ask him for salvation. I didn't ask him. Hey, I said, do you believe that you can be healed? She was like, well, of course, I understand. Because you pay money to me. Oh, kid you not, I saw a flash. Like a bolt, I touched this woman, her back stood straight up. She said, oh my God. And I'm using these words because that was her way she expressed herself. She realized she was no longer down, you can't see your way. If you're down, you're going to see over the hump. Pick yourself up. No matter what you've been through, no matter the past, no matter what you encounter, pick yourself up. It hurts, but pick yourself up. It's uncomfortable. Pick yourself up. I don't want to show up to this environment because everybody knows, go in. When you show up, you're not going by yourself. You are going with the Ancient of Days. God says, I will go with you. Do you trust me in invisible? Because when we so used to being tough, I don't know your love languages, but when you're used to being tough, it makes you feel good. But God says, I can do something without the touch. Just go. Go. That woman, I believe in my heart of heart, she never bent over another day. Look at this. Was she in the church? No. Was she in the synagogue? No. Was she in a place of worship? No. Because we took church to the streets. In other words, we made it so there was no limit. Because if we waiting for people to come in here to get them healed, we ain't checking. Last I heard, if you call 911, that ambulance is going where you are. You imagine having a sick person go to the hospital when you're calling for the ambulance? The ambulance is not over. It's not going to tell you to meet me. I'm not going to be here for 5 minutes. They're going to go exactly where your location is. I'm telling you, the Lord knows where you are. He knows where to find you. In this case, she found him. God Almighty. I hope I'm coming. Let me go back in here again. What time I'm dealing with? Oh, we got some time. I can let this go. Maybe part of you got what you need. But I tell you what, though. Look, if I'm bent over, depending on you getting a little strength in you, you might come up just a little bit. Well, why would you need just a little? I want to leave all of those. I want to see this all the way finished. So many of us are so used to just going half. There's no effort in half time. I want to finish the fourth quarter. And I better see my role win. We won. That's the crown in this. Let's go back in here again. And he laid hands on her. And the next day. What did it say? And the next day? What did it say? What? Immediately. No, the following week. No, next month. No. Wait. The promises that people have made to you that never got fulfilled. Jesus, come on, man. I know I'm digging in here now. I'm not going to let you go. See, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell all my ministers, when you minister to people, pay no attention to their faces. Because they'll make you think that you ain't hitting. I know when I'm unraveling some stuff. You just can't become. No, I'm not going to talk about me because there's somebody on YouTube, who he think he is. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? But when Jesus saw her, verse 12, I'm going back over this because you know what? What happens is sometimes if you keep going over and over and over, what you're doing is you're triggering some stuff. Don't let go. No, keep fighting. Some things you're going to have to fight. Everything ain't going to be no quick. Y'all know what happened to Jacob and the angel? He wrestled with it all night long. To the point that he got his leg bruised, but he came out with a reward. His name was changed. Why your name can't? I don't care. Your name is not predicated on your past. Let me go back here. He says, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Encouraging words, but I don't think it's so. Jesus is being Savior. He's Yeshua all day long. But even sometimes, let me tell you something. It wasn't his thing. It had to be hers. It had to be yours. I can minister this whole gospel until I turn blue. But if you don't receive, you're still going to walk on me and sing when you can. You have to know, without a shadow of doubt, what this man is saying. He's triggering something. I receive. That's what you say when you don't. When you have all time receiving, you have to tell your spirit, I receive. Tell your flesh, I receive. This word is for me. I'm not going to pretend that this word ain't for me. This woman came outdoors. She was embarrassed. I'm sure she was. But when are we going to get to a place in our life that we're taking off our false representation? Stop hiding. Stop trying to be some glamorous person that we really not. You know and I know we both got needs. That's why we're in here. But if we can stop pretending, God says, I can get my way with you. Man. Okay, verse 12. Y'all still in Luke, right? I said it so many times. I hope we're in the same verse.
Yeah.
You're not going to take a different type of medication and the doctor prescribed this medication. But I tell you Advil, stick with that. I didn't tell you ibuprofen. Some people who sit in here, they still in ibuprofen when I'm already in Advil. Yeah, it's medication, but it ain't fact. Oh, my God. Oh, man, Jesus. We got to stop trying to make some alternative. Stick with the doctor prescribed. In this case, I'm the doctor. See, people are saying, who he think he is? I know who I am. Do you know who you are? We and you should never wait to somebody to confirm us or affirm us. At some point, we got to get on our own two feet. I know who I am. My past is not predicated on my future. I used to be. I'm not that anymore. Then I'm talking to myself. I don't know about you. At this moment, that's what you should be doing. I used to be. Not that man no more. I used to be. I'm not that woman any longer. I was. I was. What we should be saying was, I am. God almighty. Okay, look, woman, not disrespecting. He was identifying worthless. Same way Jesus called the woman and came, when he said, woman, what would I have to do with it? He was talking to his mother. People said, well, is that disrespectful? No, he was identifying. Woman. Before, do you notice Jesus being the teacher in the hour in the synagogue, do you notice he didn't disrespect her? He respected her with the honor of woman. You are loose. Now, I don't know your love language if I'm not supposed to, but what I'm saying is that I'm speaking to your spirit, not to you. You have to tell yourself you loose, now you have to behave like it. You have to behave what you heard. Because if you leave here differently, then you still take it ibuprofen. What did you get today? I got angry. Jesus. I'm she like, no, this guy. Why did you bring me this? See, what? Why did we do that? I thought we were cool. We were. That's what I brought you here. Because I know what you need, and you know what you need. Let's go here. Verse 12. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her, to him, and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Let's read on now. These are your haters coming in play. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the what? Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days. There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, hypocrite. Does not one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead away to water it? So ought not this woman be a daughter of who? Of who? Of who? You're going to find out why. Because God already promised to Abraham in chapter 22. He said, through you, all families shall be what? Blessed. Through your seed, through your offspring, all families through your offspring shall be blessed. In other words, Jesus came out of Abraham's offspring. His offspring talking to the situation. The Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not want each one of you on the saddle loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to... See, this is what all they cared about was that one. You're talking about work. You're crucifying me for working on the 6 day, but here you need out your some donkeys out of the store so you can get them to drink. So you care about more of your pets. And we live in a society right now that you got people care more about their pets than a human being. It's a sad situation. You care, you're more concerned about the law, but you ain't fulfilling it. Jesus said in the next chapter, he says, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I come that the law might be fulfilled. In other words, I didn't come to abolish it. I come that the law. So in other words, I'm the law giver. At this point, law is me. Compassion. At some point, what are we going to get out of our tradition and start walking in compassion? It was legalism. Let's read here. Let's finish. And the Lord answered them and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you, you know, this is always somebody who's saying something that ain't doing right. They be the first voice. That tells you a lot about a person who opens their mouth first. You've just exposed yourself, sis. You exposed yourself, brother, because you're the first one. It's the one that's quiet is the one that I want to pay attention to. I always want to know what you think. So ought not this woman being a daughter of who? Abraham? Whom Satan. Okay. Now we get into the problem. Whom Satan has bound. Jesus says, in all the way for me to go after this, I got to revert back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The offspring of this woman shall bruise the head of who? The serpent. Isn't Satan the symbolic of a serpent? So if you want to get a snake, you got to take it by the head. If you want to get the snakes in your life, you got to take it by the head. Not the tail. The tail, you're playing. The head, you crucify. Not the head. We're not playing no longer. Look, if some of you have been putting up with certain things for a long time, like this woman, you know you got to change something. Something got to change. Something got to do. It's just up to you and I how to discover. I'm quite sure it wasn't a conducive to get up out of that mattress to come over to a place of worship. That's the wrong time to get up. But here we are. Let me tell you about some of us, though. We'll go to work all day, but we don't want to take off the mat because we know we got to pay bills. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, oh, now we got something wrong. I can't make it. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get up, because I know you think I left you. I didn't leave you. How are you going to escape the one who's giving you the resources? The one that's blessing you, you're going to try to dog shit for that. I didn't say HIT, because I know how this is going to pick up. Dog shit. S-H-I-T. I don't know what's wrong with us. I can't go to work. No, I could go to work because I got to pay these bills. Electricity's due, water's due, dog got to be fed, kids need shoes, need food in the house. So I can't take off work. I'm in pain, but I can't take off. When you come to Sunday, I'm going to take off because there's no reward in that. You fool you. Your biggest reward is in a house, not in a job. The reason why he rested is a place of rest. So he also specifically said, do not work during this time period. I don't care if you have served. Do not work. Don't put them to work. That's a place for me. Rest in worship. This woman decided she was going to get up and she was going to come to a place of worship, but the issue was she wasn't getting no rest. She was I got to go back here, bro, because again, we have folks paying this. Everybody got a different tolerance. She, I didn't feel good coming here, but you see your lynch. You think I didn't have any doubt? You know what? I could take a day off right now and just kind of sit still. Yeah, that's what my mind wanted to do, but I didn't realize it. Because sometimes when you push your way in, you can bypass some pain. I can't afford to sit out because I have food. Because my emotions are right there. That's the time I need to come guns blazing. Yeah, I said guns. Guns blazing. Meaning I have to give it everything I got at this moment. I guarantee you, if you tell some people you're going to get paid on the day you come to worship, oh, every house will be here. Every house will be filled because they know their reward is coming with the daily wages. But if you tell somebody you go to work, you ain't gonna get paid, I guarantee you they're not going. Because the reward is, hey, that all because of the need. If we can get to a place in our walk with God that we ain't just looking for a payday, we come in because we love. We come into him because we know what he brought us. We come into him because of who he is. We always predicate God to having like a dream, a wish list. I'm not coming until you give me something. This woman really helped me out a whole lot. I'm telling you, if we can see this woman's testimony, that your breakthrough is not far from you, that it could be any moment. If you find yourself in the right place, because you can go to the wrong church, honestly, you can't. It's possible, especially in the hill. But if you find yourself in a place where you can connect with power, it wasn't the place that had the power, it was the person that she was getting with you. Take power out of place, it's just a place. Take the person with power in the place, now it's power. I'm so excited that this work really exposes so much to if you're careful, now you can approach this a little different. Next time you get a little pinky tuck and realize, wait a minute, I just heard this word last week. This could be my breakthrough. That could be the very day that whatever you believe in God for, that could be the very hour that your breakthrough is. All God got to do is one thing, and it will so overcome anything you make in 1 year. Let me tell you something. He can do something for you for anything you lost in the last 5 years. You just got to show up at the right place and at the right time. Well, the approach shouldn't be my motivation in it. The approach is I love him and I know what he's done for me. That he's the center of my life. Yeah, let your naysayers say what they want after you get your food. What you could tell them is look at the result. You know I was bent over into you, which you did. But you have a lot to say. Now that I'm standing with you, you still got something. I want to tell some people, when you get straight, don't go back to what was teasing. Stay cool. Stay clear away from me. Go to a group of people who you can help. Because what happens is we get the blessing and we got to go and show it off. Your mockery is not going back. Your mockery is the evidence of what you win. That you don't have to wear where you don't have to take. Because I've been made straight. That spirit that I used to have, I don't have anymore. I'm not fragile, spirit of infirmity. I'm not weak, spirit of weakness. I'm strong. I'm anchored in the Lord. I don't need two hands carrying me into the church. I can drive on my lungs. And if I can't drive, I can set a hot heart for public transportation. In other words, you don't need to set me in the area where I'm going to be confined. Like I'm outcast. You don't need to come feel sorry for me. That was my past. Hallelujah. Let us stand to our feet. Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this word. Now I pray, Holy Spirit, that you are eliminating everything that a person thought about who you were and what you were about. Thank you for your divine presence, that you use this word to expose where I am and where you try to take me. This is my day. This is my hour. I am the daughter of Abraham. I am the son of Abraham. Should I be bound when you already promised God, Abraham, through Genesis chapter 22, that all families through him shall be blessed? I am the product of Abraham. I am the son and the daughter of Abraham. If you want to be stuck on Abraham. But that daughter of Abraham met the son of Abraham, which is Yahshua. Years of being on Social Security, because I can't work, my bad. 18 years of being on disability, because I can't do what I need to do for myself. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Look, once God freed you, don't go back using the system to keep the resource. Because now you're free. I'm going to tell you something. What happens is, you know, when God frees you from something, sometimes you're not behaving right. We ought to behave like we are heir and a joint heir with God through Christ Jesus. But if God freed me, why am I going back to the system and telling them I still need an extension on my disability check? You're playing with God. Because what you're doing is you're putting that disability right back on you because you're speaking it into life again. Because your trust still ain't in God. Look, before God fully sees, that's of deliverance, people. He can deliver you for one thing, but then you still got to have trust for God to do something else for you. You can't be free and be bound at the same time. If God is freeing you from one area, you got to take it all the way home. In other words, what I'm saying to you, if you had a condition and you was dependent on disability, which was okay for the time being, but if God is freeing you, why are you still filling out paperwork for disability? In other words, what I'm saying is that you're extending the paperwork for disability because that's what you want to tell the people. Well, why not what you tell them? I don't need it no more, sir. Jehovah Jireh has provided. He promoted me from the letter U to the letter I. With man, it's impossible for the letter I. But not with God. Let me go to the letter P. All things is possible. I would not act like I'm so caught up. Look, man, look. I'm going to stop getting to a place where I'm going to behave like I'm free. I have to behave like it. I can't just because if I'm pretending that I'm free and I'm, or vice versa, God freed me, but I'm pretending that I'm not free so I could collect this shit. That's playing. That's manipulating the system Man, let me get it, man. Cause I look, man. I'm gonna tell you something, and God, I know I can sense it now. Remember what I told you? Sometimes you gotta go all the way from to get people free when they have the option to get free. Look, here's another chicken, man. Some people don't want to get free because they want to stay where they are. They're comfortable. I'm gonna put it this way. The reason why you ain't free is because you're comfortable where you are. But I'm going to tell you something. What happens is that those type of groups of people, that God would reveal it. Watch this. He would expose it to the point that he'll let that stuff dry up. Now you got no choice but to come to him. Because the law at that point is not on your side. The law would get in touch with you and send you a letter. Unfortunately, we aren't able to give you these kind of provisions because you need to show yourself that day. It can be the very day that God free you and he'll make the people call you and send you a letter that you need to show yourself up before 5 o'clock or you won't get these funds. Now, when you show up, they're going to look at you and be like, you don't need this one. God almighty. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. It's what you're doing is you manipulating the system. Man, my church got to get free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You notice it wasn't Jesus' faith, it was her. Because she could have sat, oh God, let me get this way. Visualize this for a moment. I know your eyes is closed, but she was sitting there in her comfort zone. Because maybe Jesus was calling her to him so he can evaluate the situation. Her comfort zone was sitting still. But to get out of her comfort zone, she had to come to him. Because as long as she was staying there, she was going to stay right where she was. But I'm determined to get free. I'm going to get free. There's no need to keep crying and asking for handouts if you don't really want to be free. Seriously, all jokes aside, I got to pull the Band-Aid off for certain things. I get in trouble for these parts of the message, too. Believe it or not, the altar part is the most strongest part of the word. Because that's when you get ready to go to the finish line. Y'all learn this. As you start to minister, you just laying the foundation when you're getting ready to go to the top. You got to solidify all of what you said in the beginning so God can show himself. There's going to be some people you're going to have to pull out of their comfort zone. They don't want to come. They don't want to come because they really don't want to be free. But what they want to do is they want to hang around freedom, but they don't want to be free. They want to hang around freedom because you're a part of me asking. But I'm going to sit around you because I know what I can try to do. But I don't really want to be free. I don't want to look like you because now I've got to really trust God. Oh, God, I don't. Now you put me in a place that I got no choice but to trust God. But we raise enough soldiers, right? And if I'm going to get free, I got to behave that way. I got to think as a man thinks, so is he. See, a lot of us come here. We ain't feeling good, but we cross our way in because we know that there's something great on me. I got an assignment on my life. I can get past this. But when I can't get past, if I stay home and I stay in here, then that's something. Hold on now. God can come to my house and do the very thing that I'm asking him to do. But God says, I don't want you to be in your comfort zone. I want you to come out of your comfort zone right now. Come out of your comfort zone right now. Come where you're uncomfortable. You'll thank me later. You may despise me now, but you're going to be thanking me. Because you know what? You know what? I'm not going to sit around and let you stay where you are. If you're going to be up under my leadership, you need to understand that God is trying to bring you up out of something. Get mad with me today. Tomorrow you can be free. That's fine. I'll take it. I'm in call for this. My shoulders can weigh the weather. I'm built for this. Hallelujah. I want to come in contact with some people in the name of the Lord Jesus. If that's you, and that's you, and you don't want to come, that's fine too. Because again, it's a choice in the matter. I'm telling you, what Jesus did was he gave him an invitation. He said, come. When somebody telling you to come, that's an invitation. Am I right? He gave her invites to come into his presence. Don't run now. Don't run now. Come. Where you are. What state of mind you in? Come. This woman had to be emotionally erect to go through the trauma of 18 years of agony. Let's not make light of her pain. A back problem hurts. No chiropractor, no masseuse, no Woodstock, no massage envy could have assisted her. No shots. But Christ healed. Yahshua, Son of the living Creator of all gods, the true and the living, bright morning star, the Lion of Judah, the Son of David. Behave like you're free. Stop being halfway. Behave like you. Behave like it. It's an action. We don't know what that woman was able to do after that encounter, but I guarantee you she was on the move. If you couldn't stop her from being in that situation, you know you can't stop her from being straight. Like, if you need me to come in contact with you, that's because you're saying I want to be free. Come to me. I'm giving you the invite right now. Those of you by internet that's watching, come with your heart, with your hands raised. With your hands raised up and say, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to come. I'm not going to let pride get in my heart. I'm not going to let pride get in my way. I'm going to come. I'm not going to hold up God's position and I can't fulfill it. This gospel is no joke. We got to take it seriously.